Hey, and welcome back to the Mob Mentality Show. I am Chris Lucian. This is Austin Chadwick. We are your hosts today, and we're going to talk about dedicated learning time. We had about 9 months of preparation for this episode just because we started talking about it way early, and then we said, well, we need this and this and this and this and this. And that's when we had the Kanban board idea. And so here we are. We're finally here. Yeah. And with this kind of segueing into the virtuous loop, which we'll have out next time. So maybe, Austin, can you talk a little bit about dedicated learning time and your experiences with it?
Yeah, and this is fairly fresh for me because it's not too long ago that I switched from an organization that did not have dedicated learning time to one that does in a substantial amount. 1 hour a day, every day is dedicated learning time on the company time, and then an extra 2 hours, so 3 hours total on Friday. And that may seem extreme and very crazy, you know, but it's been amazing. It's been such an amazing experience. I mean, so before in other organizations, you know, you even hear podcasts talking about it, like, oh, well, if you really care about your career, you will spend extra hours learning on your own time and spend your own money to go to conferences or this or that training. And to be honest, seeing that kind of culture, a lot of people don't do, you know, learning.
Yeah. Well, I have a philosophy around it. Yeah. And I tell this to a lot of people that ask about the dedicated learning time. So you think about it, in that culture, yeah, right? What happens to your free time,
right,
over time as your career progresses? Well, you start as an associate level or a junior level developer, and you start with a whole bunch of free time. And so you spend all that free time at home learning more and more. And then what happens is your free time gets reduced over time as responsibilities are added. And so you take up hobbies, you go into a relationship, you end up getting married, having kids, things along those lines. And so what happens is the most experienced people in your organization are going to be the ones that spend the least time learning something new. And so you are incentivizing them to become defensive over their position in the organization, because the person that is most equipped to move you to the next best technology is the one with the least amount of experience. And so that's where like bike shedding ends up coming from, is because without the dedicated learning time, people stop having opportunities to learn at home. They become worried that they're not on the next technology trend, and then they start essentially becoming defensive on their position, and that slows your technology innovation at your company down. Because what'll happen is like, no, I'm comfortable with this and I don't have time to learn that. And so that means junior developers get shut down, and that means that senior developers start making choices that are more in their own self-interest versus not, and it causes a large series of dysfunction, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I've definitely seen that, you know, at other organizations. And then you switch to a new model where learning is part of the job. It's what you're paid to do, is to learn. And I think, what was the quote from Joy Inc. he said the other day, is we're gonna learn faster than anybody else.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. Our competitive advantage is the rate at which we learn, compared to the rate at which another organization can learn.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, you learn, and it just kind of sounds like, oh, you guys are just a bunch of academics just learning stuff. But I can't count how many times something that someone spent on their learning time came into the product. I mean, it was just today we were mobbing, and someone spent their learning time how to write an automated script to localize a particular, page for an app, you know what, yeah, I mean? And instead of hand typing all those, you know, manual changes to make it more localized, wrote a script to do it, mm-hmm, you know, kind of thing. And, you know, from app ideas to new technologies to anything, I mean, we've done it, you know, so there's different flavors of learning time too. So there can be individual, you know, I want to go experiment on this. I've also been hosting group learning sessions as well, where, hey, and you can do it on a targeted thing, like, hey, I know about this, I want to share on this, and they can see who shows up. Or you can just say, like, does anybody just want to group learn about anything? And then we'll show up, and then we'll make a Kanban board like this, and then we'll throw up all the ideas of possible things to learn,
yep,
and then we'll dot vote, and whatever gets the highest votes, we'll spend an hour or two learning that thing. And it'll just be, you know, can be very rapid experimentation, like, oh, let's try out this new tech stack. Let's migrate from this database to this one in the cloud. Yep. And we'll just be, you know, trying it, or let's try a different CI/CD tool and then see how that goes. And so I think I realized pretty quickly after being in this mode, it felt like I was at a conference. So you combine mobbing and you combine dedicated learning time. It felt like I was learning like I was at a conference every single day. Yeah. You know, so that rush of like, oh my gosh, so much
it's a
good
download.
Information. But and so that's been my experience.
And I think even for teams that have like a common goal, so my first experience with dedicated learning time, the learning was together as a group. It was mandated driver navigator forced rotations, strong pairing style, and what had come out of that was basically you know, kind of taking maybe the weakest areas and basically baselining everyone on the team at the same time. And so even though somebody's here and somebody's here, you kind of get this like gradual increase of the other person a little bit faster. And so if that disparity is pretty significant, you might baseline a few skills like test-driven development and refactoring, and then you start getting into really interesting stuff like where it becomes more exploratory. And so in the later years of doing the dedicated learning time, it was stuff like database continuous integration and unit tests for database, things that people are struggling with even today. And so there were major transitions, integration of continuous integration, adding processes like infrastructure as code. All of these things came in through learning sessions because it was there was this reluctance to move on to new technology. It's like, I don't have time to change the flat tire because I need to get to where I need to go. Exactly. You're like pushing it, you know, or the engine is broken, but I don't have time to fix it. I'm just going to push the car there.
Okay.
It's that kind of stuff that just kind of like magically goes away because again, I think a lot of it is to do with this like disincentive to bring in new practices. And we'll talk a lot more about that in the virtuous loop, but it's a cool effect to see like all these new things kind of come in, and it's not, there's no big campaign for a top-down change to be like, we're gonna do continuous integration today. It's like, oh hey, that's weird, that team's doing continuous integration all of a sudden. I had no idea that like, was
definitely
a thing even. Really cool to see.
Yeah, and I think there's like two more side effects I'd like to talk about. One is, I think it makes changing teams, like if you want people changing teams and kind of spreading around good things, it makes it much less daunting. You know, for example, if I'm switching to a tech stack I've never been before, so mobbing plus dedicated learning is huge. So, I mean, I came into a mob, I hadn't written JavaScript in like 10 years and very little at that, but I can spend my dedicated learning time on JavaScript.
Yep.
And then if I go into another mob that's doing some cloud technology I've never used before, it's like, oh, I have dedicated learning time to learn this kind of stuff and mob on it, you know what I mean? And so it makes it much less scary to, hey, let me go jump join this team, or let me help out over here. And so I think it
I mean, so that reminds me, because like even keying off of that, it's also the opposite, right? So it's like you're more likely to invite somebody over that you knew recently did the learning. And I saw this recently where we had Fastlane for deploying mobile applications, and it was like, oh, this person spent their time doing a learning session on it, and they did it for one project, and then basically every team that needed to do their mobile app deployments in a fast way was like, hey, can you come over and join our team now? And so not only does it make it easy for you to join another team when you don't know anything, it also makes it a priority for you to move between teams because you know something that each team needs. And so that the diffusion of innovation kind of happens a lot faster because of it.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, we invited someone to our mob for that reason. And I think the other thing too is, and maybe you can talk about it more than I, but it kind of births new process ideas. So in a sense, dedicated learning time led to mobbing, right?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, I mean, because it was that style of training, right?
It was an example that people could key off of like the strong pairing and rotating, and then that, like, all of the restrictions just evaporated, and then we were doing it every day, all day in the work. And so there was kind of a model, you know, I think I've told said this before in previous episodes, but it was kind of like a request for help. Hey, can we all get into this room and start doing that thing that we do while we're learning, but let's do it in a way, but let's work on production code. And very quickly it became just the default mode of working after through retrospectives. And so it was a really cool series of side effects from everybody involved in order to kind of create this thing.
So to wrap things up, it sounds like if you want an innovative culture in regards to technology, interpersonal skills, processes, anything, it's a very solid foundation to help inspire that kind of thing.
Yeah, and this plays very heavily into the virtuous loop and like that incremental improvements, but it is kind of like the foundational thing for really, there's this concept, the plus 1% infinity. It's kind of like very popular in blogging. It's like you write one blog, your blog has no value. You write seven blogs, like people might start kind of frequenting it or looking for the next post. You write 50 to 100 blogs, now you have a lot of people coming in from like different things. It's the same sort of thing. You have this one minor improvement, might not mean much. You have two minor improvements, might not mean much, but you have many minor improvements, and then it starts to snowball. And so this is like one of those core things. If you don't have the learning time, like I believe that it will put you in a dangerous place of stagnation.
Yep, right on. Well, with that, we'll wrap it up. And until next time, have a good night, everybody. Please like and subscribe, and please share with anybody you think this would be informative or helpful in some way. And let's continue the conversation on Twitter and anywhere else. Have a good one.
Learn well.